Hello and welcome to episode 272 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Casey Gibson, and joining me this fine evening, he's done with the corn, but I bet he's got a big old turkey on his table. It's Jerry Jerkum.
272, I got something for you.
Boom, 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 boom. We got something else for you folks out there. I don't know if he's baby or if he's beautiful, but he's certainly a boy from Boston. It's Balix Bulafi.
Trick or treat.
Get out of here, perv.
Hello, Balix.
Hello, Barry.
Balix Bunderworld. Balix Wunderworld. What a weird, weird game.
I always like when we see in the Discord, like, people are posting it's on sale, and I just hope somebody bites the bullet, you know? Picks it up.
Yeah.
Overpaid.
Yeah. Did you throw yours away or something?
No, I think I still have it.
No, you deleted your save file or something.
Yeah, I deleted it off my Switch. Yeah, I was like, get out of here.
That's funny. Ugh. That's going to really stink when the punishments come back.
Yeah. And that'll
the
be
second
the day.
Half.
Yeah, my letter of resignation goes in.
Yeah, it's me too. That's not happening.
That's it. And then it's just an Alex vehicle.
It turns into the Bill Burr podcast where it's just me talking into a microphone for an hour.
Talk Nintendo podcast featuring Alex.
Yep.
Simply
Alex Burr.
This week we got Steins Gate Elite.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah, retrospective. Yeah.
Well, that reminds me. So it's Thanksgiving week in America, and you know, most podcasts would just take the week off and enjoy time with their family. You know, we don't do that here.
We don't like our families.
We like our listeners more.
Yeah, we're like Aaron Rodgers. Although no, you don't want to be like Aaron Rodgers.
A highly successful athlete?
Yep. But he plays for the Packers.
Oh.
Mm. But anyway.
He doesn't like teams that win games.
Yeah, I like the losers. I'm tired of all these winners continuing to win, you know?
They're just showing off, you know?
Throw me a W, you know? Jeez.
But I will say, though, this is going to be a shorter episode than normal because...
That's the kiss of death.
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah. That's the kiss of death, though. Every time we've ever said that, it ends up being a very long show.
Oh, the thing is I can just hit stop on the record button. So.
Yeah, but most of the time it's you that's causing the length.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, all right, then. If we're trying to keep this at a moderate pace, we better get into our food talk real quick because it finally happened, boys.
Oh, baby.
Freddy's is open. And... it was just mediocre, unfortunately.
Really?
But, well, you know what it is? I realize now this is probably the first weekend. First Sunday. We went Sunday around noon before the Jet game. Probably not great timing, you know? But that's okay. Because we went to see my parents, and it's close to my parents. So we went there, then over to my parents' house afterwards for the game.
What was mediocre about it?
You know what? It was... all good, except we got steak burgers, and they were not very hot.
Oh, that's crazy.
So it's like,
how's that possible? They do everything fresh.
Yeah, what happened, we got the cheese curds and stuff, so I don't know if they got, like, misplaced with the rest of the meal, or they were, like, waiting for the curds, and you know what I mean? There was a lot of people there, lots of employees, because, you know, like I said, definitely opening weekend, and, like, a lot of new people who don't really know what's probably, like, the dance, you know, they don't have like everything down yet. So it was like just a little slow. And then, and it was packed, no doubt about it. Like, you know, it wasn't just like them stinking. It was like, I totally understood. And it was just one of those at that point, I wasn't going to go say like, hey, this is sort of cold, you know, because it's like, I was already missing like the first couple minutes of the Jet game, you know?
Yeah, it's funny you said, there you go.
So I ate my steak burger. Semi-cold. You know, it was still tasty, don't get me wrong.
Because, like, whenever I get a burger there, which is every time I go there, it's so piping hot. Like it almost burns my tongue. Like it's so hot. So nope. It's just kind of funny that you say that. That's a weird problem. But it's funny that you say that.
Curds were solid. The fries were delish. It was still tasty. Like no doubt about it. But it was definitely not.
Did you get the fry sauce?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Okay. It definitely wasn't a great first showing for Kate. You know what I mean? But she too understood that it was like, all right, this is totally opening weekend. And like, you know, it was hitting the fan and they were, it happens, you know, we are willing to give it another go for sure. But we'll probably wait a couple weeks, you know?
Yeah.
Let them ease into it a little bit.
I'm very jealous of these fried cheese curds that everyone keeps talking about.
I
love a good poutine. And I love a good mozzarella stick. And
me too, man.
Seems like it would hit.
Yeah, I think you would probably love them. There's got to be a place you could find in Boston to get like authentic cheese curds.
Oh well, I can get poutine, which are obviously fries, cheese curds, gravy. But I've never seen the fried cheese curds. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like I'm still surprised. I mean, if you went hunting, I bet you'd find a spot.
You're probably right.
So it sounds like you don't want it that bad, huh?
Yeah, I guess I'm just not I guess I'm not dedicated to the podcast enough.
Yeah, there's guys who get fried cheese curds, and then there's Alex.
That's okay.
There's people who give 100%, and then there's Balix.
You know, I guess it's cold week because I went to my spot today, you know, Buffalo Wings and Rings, and my fries came cold, like they were actually cold. I was like, it was like obviously they had been set out, and when it came, it was just by the time it was cold, and I told my waitress, I was like. I don't mean to bother you, but like these are literally
the
cold
out here right now.
Yeah, like, hey, yeah, yeah, exactly. and so, but then she brought them back, and they were like, I can't explain it because I've never had these before. But the fries, they were like fried, like it feels like they were fried in the same fryer as like some donuts, and they tasted amazing.
I was going to say, like, they
it was like a little sweet.
It.
It was up. I was like, oh my. And it was like, and they were obviously like piping hot with like a crispy brown, like golden brown on the outside French fries, like thick. Oh man. Wow.
You just didn't realize that actually Delicioso. The waitress, she had eaten a bunch of donuts before her shift. And like, she just went back and spit on your fries, you know?
That's fine.
How
with
dare
me.
He?
If she must have like lava donut spit.
She's actually a dragon.
Yeah. See. Okay. That makes sense. There you go.
There it is.
But yeah. It's cold. It is cold though. I'm actually sitting in my basement right now with a blanket over my
hand-knit it was 39
shawl
degrees
over
this
my
morning.
Shoulders. Really?
Yep. I had bust out the hat and the gloves today.
Your Jets, mm-hmm. your Jets toque.
My Jets toque was on my dome. Kept me nice and warm. And then I think it still got up to like into the 50s, you know. So it was still a nice day, but the cold is here finally.
And I gotta say, I'm drinking a Monster Ultra Gold right now. That's really good. That's one of my favorites.
Is that like a drinkable cigarette?
I was gonna say, yeah, it sounds yeah.
it is. That's
more
what it
or
actually
less,
says.
I guess.
A it's carton for $66 state minimum.
Yeah, it's a menthol X ultra gold. So yeah,
just like the Cowboys used there. To drink.
Yeah, exactly. After a nice rough day, you know, and they sit on the porch.
Have you ever seen the Tim and Eric skit? Good news, cigarette juice.
No, that sounds great.
Okay. No.
All right, I'll put it in the Discord.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
you.
So you're welcome. But I'm gonna put it before the show goes live, and I'll put it in the podcast section so people are like, why are you doing this? It's fine. So I agree, it's been super cold. And fittingly, the fiance and I did a little cabin weekend. We went up to New Hampshire. Northern New Hampshire, pretty much on the border of Maine.
Did you stop for any side road food?
No, it's been wholesome eating. I'm getting to food as a way to justify putting this here, though. So we did a cabin weekend in Upper New Hampshire, and I didn't bring the Switch just because I wanted like a wholesome cabin weekend.
She didn't let me.
I spent all my good boy points on dessert earlier in the week and wasn't allowed to bring my Switch on vacation.
You know what this means if you cash him in now and you're like, I know.
It's either the chicken tendies or the Switch. No, but I want to set the scene. So I'm in like we're in like a guest suite in a farmhouse. You wake up like 7-8 in the morning. It's warm. You're in a cabin with like this old wood all around you. And I woke up, I made a pan of eggs with butter, I made some toast, and I made some breakfast sausage. And it was the first time I had really made my own breakfast like that in maybe 2 years. And it was quite literally the opposite of fast food, but it was the best meal I had this past week.
I do love a good breakfast.
Did you make it with a dozen eggs? Good.
And only three eggs, five little sausage links, and then two pieces of toast.
Wait, did you make this for your fiance?
She's vegan, so I can't. This was just me. She had oatmeal.
You know what? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, nope. I was gonna say, hey, you can
Perry's
eat
like,
all
I'd
of her
still
food.
Still have 12.
I guess there's got to be situations where like. She can't eat something, but you can, so you get to eat more. There's got to be some of those.
The I know this isn't the ideal story for a 1 hour podcast episode, and this isn't really a story, but the way it usually works is like she doesn't care. I eat whatever I eat. She eats what she wants to eat, but usually I'm eating vegan for dinners just because it's easier. We only have to make one dinner, whatever, and I'm okay with the food. But usually when I go out, I'll order non-vegan for myself.
Mm.
So it's a pretty good setup. I end up eating more like vegan stuff inadvertently, which is probably good health wise. But then when I go out, I'll still just eat whatever I want.
Do you feel like sometimes when you go out, you go harder knowing like I'm not going to have this at home. I'm going to go ham right now.
That used to be the case. But I think because like I have a job, I have my own money. If I want to get McDonald's twice in a row, I'll just get it twice in a row. I'll do the bang bang.
the bang bang, yep. I had McDonald's on the way home today, actually.
Alex, do you ever think about, maybe I shouldn't marry this woman because she's a vegan?
Not for a second. I know you're joking, but one, never hesitated for a moment in case anyone's listening, but also that's actually true. But then two... I mean, she's been vegan for 3 years now, so it's like it's actually very well integrated.
So you turned
in my
her
life.
Into a vegan.
Mm.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. No. Either way, there's the dark arts.
Dark arts, baby. There it is.
All right. Wonderful. Well, yeah, I don't have much this week. I do have a small demo I'm going to talk about that Alex also played.
Mm-hmm.
But do we want to jump right into that?
Yeah, I think we should. Right into the demo.
Okay. What's it called again? Yeah, Big Brain Academy demo.
Brain versus Brain. Balix versus Balix. Yeah, no, it's Big Brain Academy, Brain versus Brain.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So, yeah. Why don't you set this one up, Alex? Because you got to it first.
Mm-hmm. I think it was either the night we recorded or the night after we recorded last week. A demo
it,
went up.
It was
up
the night we recorded, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that night.
That makes sense, because stuff always happens that night.
Always.
Yep.
Nintendo, similar to WarioWare, they just tweeted out, like, hey, there's a demo up now. And I downloaded it maybe that night or the next night, whatever. And it, It's a very small demo, even compared to WarioWare, which wasn't a small demo by any means. It was just short time length, because you can see the whole thing in like a half hour. But this one's even smaller. So Big Brain Academy, Brain vs. Brain, coming out for $30 on December 3rd. It is a sort of multiplayer-y focused, local multiplayer focused Big Brain Academy. It seems like there's about 20 main mini games. You can do the same Brain Age type stuff or whatever the Big Brain Academy equivalent was on DS. It seems all that is integrated, but now there's new multiplayer stuff. And the demo was 3 mini games out of, I think, the 16 or 20 that's included in the whole thing.
Yeah, there was kind of like sections within sections. So I don't exactly know how many there are. You know, like, because, like, anyway, yeah, it was kind of confusing.
But we had access to 3.
Yeah, yeah. And it showed others that were just like, just you just couldn't get access to, so.
Mm-hmm. It seems fairly bare bones, like, at least, like, production value. It's all in 2D, which in itself doesn't mean low production value. But other than the Big Brain Academy guy, who's like beautifully animated and looks amazing, the rest of it kind of looks like a game that's half the price at full retail as other Switch games. Like, there's not a lot going on visually other than that one guy.
Yeah, and they're kind of like Mii's. They're like Mii characters, but they're not. Like, you actually make your own character in the game. I thought maybe you would transfer them from your Mii, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, but it seems like they're distinct.
Yeah, so I've always liked these kinds of games. Like, I mean, this is very much a Brain Age game. It's like, it's just with a little bit more charm, less abstract. I guess besides the weird floating Dr. Kawashima head, but so playing the games I'm trying to think of which the games are where you have to tap. Oh, like there's the silhouette game where there's just a bunch of images and like little cute little monsters and food and stuff, and then you you know, you have to tap, then you'll see the silhouettes of them and you'll have to tap them. And so it's just that, really, you know, it's really just identifying stuff and then going quicker. And there's some pretty difficult math, like, you know, like those math ones where it says pick them in order, like go from lowest to highest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's all these numbers on the screen, but they're all in different shapes and sizes. So it messes with your brain. So like the big one could be my a brain was number, really then, yeah. Versing my other brain. Just saying. But, you know.
The third one was Whack-A-Mole.
Oh, the Whack-A-Mole. Yeah, I honestly liked all 3 of them. It was just kind of cute little fun. And then you get scored, and then it even has like a brain score, like at the end, right? There's something like that. And so it literally is Brain Age. I mean, it, you know, like there's like a different package. I always thought that was, I remember when it came out on the DS, this franchise, and I always thought it was kind of, I always, even at the time, even though I really enjoyed it, it was like, oh, this is just another Brain Age game that a hugely, so they're making copies of it, of the hugely successful game. So, I really liked it. And I guess, so Alex kind of came away from it, you know, not impressed, right? That's probably what you'd say, right?
Yeah, not at all.
I get that. I think what I'm looking forward to is what I forgot is the fact that this is really meant for multiplayer. On there, and there's a bunch of multiplayer modes, and I just love like quick multiplayer party games. And I'm like, you know, and you can make your character really, really quick on this. So I think this will be, and the fact that it's only $30 for like a pretty cool multiplayer game and something I can jump into real fast. It just, that's like everything I like in a quick little game, you know, cause I don't play games like the same way that Alex does. Cause I just don't play long games a lot. Because I like these little experiences.
Because Alex is built different.
It's true.
It's true.
As the picture I sent you before we started recording.
I think Alex plays more video games in a week than I do the entire year, but that's okay. That's just how it is, and I like. I don't know. I thought it was fun, and I'm actually looking forward to getting it. So, but even though it's, I pretty much agree with everything you said too, Alex. So I'm excited to play with friends.
I didn't. When I texted you guys about it, I kind of said like Casey Raspberry noise, because it just didn't seem like there was much to it, at least the demo, because it was the three games, right? It was that whack-a-mole, it was the numbers, and it was the silhouettes, but it was all just selecting things, and it was all kind of structured the same way, even though it wasn't the exact same things. And I'm looking at a Game Explained demo right now, or a video of the demo. They went through the whole thing in 11 minutes. It's really small, so it could I'm not against it being like really good, obviously, but there just wasn't much to take away from other than this demo doesn't have a lot here, and I wonder if it's the same case with the final game. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. And exactly. So there is a chance that this is Casey Raspberry noise for the final game. but I do like I was pretty charmed by the art style and just the everything. And I think that there's, if we can get a good night out of the game of the multiplayer modes, especially something that we could jump into real quick, that's great. And that's the difference is also is like, I've had an amazing time playing local multiplayer Super Mario Mario Party Superstars. I've played it tons, like way more than I think I've already put like 15 hours into that game just with multiplayer. Yeah, so it feels really good. Which, by the way, Alex, we still need to play that.
Yeah, you seriously need to play that. You want to hear the funniest thing in the world that's going to get you both fake mad at me?
Yeah.
I played it with my friends from my other podcast. Three Unprepared Men. I played it with both of them.
In real life?
The recording last weekend. Yeah.
Amazing. Perfect.
We hate you.
That doesn't get me mad. That gets me excited.
But also don't mention that podcast.
Never again.
Never again.
So I'll go next because I think I've been playing kind of the big game of the week. I've been playing Pokemon Shining Pearl.
That's great. Uh-oh. All right,
let's hear it.
So Casey, what about this Shin Megami?
Yeah,
Shin Megami Tensei.
The stupidest
reverse
name ever
of that noise.
No, okay, so
Shin, is this about soccer or something? Nothing.
That's where Perry will edit in the crickets. So,
tell us about the Shining Pearl game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us. We want to hear it. Come on.
Pokemon Shining Pearl is the new remake of Pokemon Diamond Pearl. There's also Pokemon Brilliant Diamond. Just came out on Switch. Diamond and Pearl were the DS games back in 2006, 2007. It was the fourth generation of Pokemon. These have been tagged as faithful remakes by Nintendo, which, as I kind of guessed and kind of came to be in fruition, meant that it's the original games mostly exactly, but with a couple little new things, a couple bigger things, but for the most part, the same game with quality of life upgrades from the latter Pokemon game. So that's pretty much what it is. I have very weird mixed feelings about this. I did a small Twitter thread where I was pretty harsh on the game after two badges, and for pretty good reason. But I'll say the good stuff first. Okay. What is very cool is that if you guys played Sword and Shield or even Sun and Moon, just any of the very new Pokemon games, it's weird going back to this because you forget how different Pokemon games look now than they looked in the DS era. Because now in Sword and Shield, like it's kind of a third person RPG, very linear, very on rails like a Pokemon game, but still looks a lot bigger budget in some ways. While Black and White in the earlier games, all the DS ones earlier, are top down RPGs just like the originals on Game Boy. And this looks exactly like that. And that it's a top down sort of eagle eye view Pokemon game where your characters have this chibi look, which they sort of brought into HD. And you're going town to town. You're going down routes. You're catching Pokemon pretty much exactly the same way you were doing back then. But it feels like the DS games just because of the way the camera works and the way the game's structured because it's faithful. And that I actually like because it was nice to get back into touch with kind of the way Pokemon used to be, at least aesthetically. The sort of flip side of that is because it's an HD game, everything kind of feels small. Like the first gym has three trainers. There's not much to it. It's just everything feels a little smaller and less grand. Because it's on a modern console and it's not on a Nintendo handheld from the mid-aughts, right?
Absolutely.
Which is, it's weird. It's not bad in its own. I think I was a little harsher on that aspect at first just because it made everything feel small. But I think I've come around to it as feeling like a little cozy. My problem comes with the game balancing, I think. Because since X and Y, they've had the experience share, which I call the quality of death feature, which is
yes,
it is. I'm really proud of that, by the way.
That is beautiful.
Can you say that again?
A quality of death feature. Yes. I wrote that in advance.
That's great. Have you ever put that in a review?
No, I came up with it like the last day or two.
Well, yeah. Remember when you used to do the reviews for NWR? What happened to that?
I could ask the same thing of you guys.
y'all run.
No, but we never. I'm saying for the Pokemon, we never did their Pokemon reviews.
Oh, that's true. I think I just sort of was doing other things. I was going to college. I was starting like career stuff. And then I started making money so that I was like, I would rather buy a game day one
and enjoy it
and enjoy it at my own pace than get it for free early and have to play through it in a few days.
Yeah, with like a super critical eye.
Yeah. Granted, several years of reviewing things for NWR has given me a critical eye that is sometimes more of a curse than a blessing. But that's sort of that. So there's the experience share, which has existed in all the generations, but starting in X and Y, it became a lot more aggressive.
In your face.
The earlier versions, it would be your main Pokemon who are doing the battling, they get full experience or a big chunk of the experience. And then the rest of your party gets a small amount. Starting from X and Y, it was a key item that was toggleable where your main Pokemon would get all the experience and then everyone else would get like half experience. And then starting in, I think it was Sword and Shield. Maybe it was in Let's Go, but I think it was the Switch games. The experience share couldn't be turned off. So it's just a thing that you have to deal with your team is getting leveled at the same time. The good
quality
thing,
of death,
quality of death. I'm way too proud of that.
It's fantastic. And also it should be the name of the episode.
Thank you. So it does a couple things. One, it takes away the grind and makes it more accessible, even though Pokemon games were never hard. But whatever. I understand the part where you don't want to make people feel like they have to grind. And so you can level up a bunch of teams at the same time. But the bad thing is that, one, you're not really forced to battle with all your Pokemon. So you can level up entire teams of your Pokemon without really forming a bond, or like that sort of parasocial bond that you would with your Pokemon, because you're using all of them, you're grinding things out to level them up, so you don't really have the same bond with your team.
Yeah, they just gain strength. Yeah,
exactly. The other thing is, I don't think the games have all ever been super well balanced for this feature. I understand you want to be accessible for all ages. You want a kid who's 8 to be able to beat it. But one, I think I have higher expectations of what an 8-year-old is capable of. And two, this feels too easy at some points, even for that level. I've played way too much Pokemon to be a great barometer for that, but that's how it feels to me. And in some ways, this is the worst balanced one yet. At least I'm in 7 badges in, so I'm a good chunk of the way, but I haven't seen the end game stuff yet. The reason I say that is,
you're 7 badges in?
I'm surprised he hasn't beaten it yet.
And I was gone for 2 days with no Switch.
Weak soldier, Alex.
Yeah. I get like 1 or 2 badges in, and I'm already like a few levels over leveled, pretty bored. But then you unlock the Grand Underground, which was a feature that existed in the original Diamond and Pearl, but not really. It wasn't a huge thing. You would sort of get gems and fossils and whatnot. Here, there are wild Pokemon you can access. That's like the wild area from Sword and Shield where you actually approach them. They're way too overleveled. When you gain access to that feature, you can catch Pokemon that are level 28, 29 when the gym leader has like level 22 Pokemon. And even after that point, the Pokemon you're catching sort of level up with it. So everything that I could catch now would be appropriate for the 7th gym without training it at all. So what that means in practice is that I'm consistently 6 to 8 levels over leveled across the board with my whole team. And I'm avoiding trainers to, one, get through the game faster because I'm a little bored.
Oh, geez.
And to make it so I'm not so over leveled that I just stop playing altogether. So it's really awkward in that way.
It literally is a quality of death feature.
Yeah, that is stupid.
Yeah, and I'm not even over engaging with it. It's not like when you overgrind an RPG and then you can just destroy everything because you did all the side quests. I'm barely going into the towns and buildings because I played this game a bunch of times before. I'm just way over leveled. So that's a big problem. And then there's other things, like there's an affection gauge, like your Pokemon, as you train them, they get affectionate to you, and they like you more. And this could mean things like your Pokemon, one of the evolution conditions might be that your affection level's high enough. But there's a feature in the new game where the Pokemon will like either land a critical hit from time to time, or it will turn around and like nod, and there's like a little in-game text, and that's nice in theory. The problem is Pokemon battling already goes slow enough that any extra unnecessary text boxes in the
less
battle
is more.
Just drag it out. and I'm not a person who will skip battle animations because I think that's like the game, but it's just,
yeah,
it's,
you
it's
play
some
Fire
of the, some
Emblem
of the quality
full
of,
battle animations.
Yep,
all four campaigns.
Sorry, all in 2 weeks. hours time.
200 hours. Yeah. So the quality of life features, some of them don't even feel super quality of life. But then they didn't even do the thing that they did with Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, where it's super easy, but they changed a lot of it. So you're playing like a really different game. So it's kind of the worst of both worlds. But the Pokemon will follow you. So that's cool. I don't know. I'd probably rather just play original Platinum again. If I was to make a recommendation, I understand that's super expensive at this point, so it's not an option. It's okay. Like, as a video game, it's okay, I guess. But even the Pokemon games I didn't like when I reviewed them for NWR, or they weren't my favorite, like X and Y, I still gave it like an 8. And this, if I was reviewing it, again, 7 badges in, I'd probably give it like a 6. Like, it's just, I'm kind of bored.
It ain't it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to beat it because I'm a madman, but I'm kind of bored.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to beat it, and then I'm going to finish out the Pokedex. Then I'm going to do a little EV training to do some competitive
play. The
post-game play.
Content was subpar.
And then I'm going to have a little Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, I'm going to be good. I'm going to beat the post-game content between dinner and dessert. No.
Well,
so
it's pretty much exactly what I thought it was going to be. If I may say so, it's pretty much exactly what I feared it would be, and nothing of what
ditto.
I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
All right. All right. Well, Casey, let's end this sesh with a game that you've played a little bit in between Final Fantasy 14 rounds.
Yes, that is Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Chipping away.
Yeah, so I put in a bunch more hours and I've been enjoying it still. I forget exactly how deep I went into. I gave like a rundown of the battle system and stuff, I'm pretty sure, last week. But I will say, for anyone out there who is playing it or is going to be playing it, one thing I want to stress that, like, as I've been playing, I'm realizing more. I feel like in RPGs, right, like, items, you try not to use them, almost, right? Like, oh, I gotta hoard these for that big epic battle that I'm gonna need to do at some point. And then, like, you get to that point, and it's like, oh, I use, like, 2, and I've got, like, you know, 30 million in stock. So, for me, it's sort of just programmed to not really use items all that much, but man, the items in this game are big time. So there are these things called dampeners, and there's like for each, pretty much each element, right? Like ice, fire, wind, you know, physical, yada, yada, yada. They have these dampeners where you can use it and it protects your whole team from one of those attacks for the next round. But the good thing is with the battle system, if you get like an immune or a block, you end up losing like more turns, because each turn you have a set number of like moves, quote unquote, right, for each player. And same with the enemy, they have a certain number of actions, I guess would probably be the better word for it. And if they hit that dampener, they lose all of their actions for the rest turn. So it's like that is so powerful, especially when there is this gauge, and I'm not even going to pretend to know how, or even fake how to say this word. I forget what it is. It's a Japanese word. But essentially, it fills up over time as you battle and stuff. And then it lets you unleash like a powerful move. Power gauge, essentially. And the enemies have these power gauges too. So they'll occasionally be like, oh, they're powering up. And the next turn, like, they're going to wreak havoc because it lets you just hit crits no matter what. So if you use a dampener right before that move, it just completely wipes that out. So they're like, you go from a turn that will probably like see you getting dominated by this boss to now taking no damage at all. And it's your turn again, you know? So it's like, I've just started to like, man, and you could buy these from the vendor, which is, you know, also his name's Gustav, and he's amazing. Honestly, you guys should look it up. No, you should look it up.
That'd be great.
He's a skeleton, but he's really creepy in a really cool way. He's a really great character. But you can buy these dampeners from him for pretty cheap. Really, like, he looks cool, but his voice is even better. You'll have to listen to him after. But you're like, I'll listen to him right now. But anyway,
it sounds a little like Metroid Dread, where like you're going from getting your butt kicked by the bosses to then taking no damage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the battles are still tough, even when you can negate those things.
Okay.
But it's just like a big swing because, yeah, the boss battles are often like really, really tough. So like to be able to like sort of nullify one turn to either A, catch up, you know, like if you're low on health, to just be like, all right, I can reload, or like, all right, I'm going to really try and just lay the hammer down as far as damage goes. But
Gustav looks like Beetle. And the Scream painting.
Like I said, you'll have to listen to his the voice actor.
Yeah, okay.
the voice work is really good. But yeah, it just, even so, also like the spyglass, right? You could buy these from the vendor for pretty cheap, and it shows the enemy's weaknesses and abilities and everything. That just pretty much just lets you free look. And I've been like, I always, whenever I get a new or encounter a new demon, like I'll just spam it with like a bunch of different attacks to find out what it's weak to. You figure it out, and now I can exploit that. Because like I was saying last week, just to refresh, pretty much this game relies a lot on attacking weaknesses to give you extra turns. For every attack that you hit a weak or a critical attack, you get another action. So you got you and three demons, total of four actions. If you hit four weak spots, you're essentially doubling your turn. You know, you get to go, you know, eight actions instead of four. So hitting that, like exploiting different resistances and all that good stuff is really important in this game. So to be able to use that just, you know, is like, oh, this just gets right to the point. And it's just, I don't know, like I said, I just a little tip as far as that goes is just using items is like, wow, it really ends up changing the battles quite a bit.
Couple questions. One, how far are you? Like, even if you know like the general hour count, and then two, how are you liking it?
I think I'm at like 15 to 16 hours, give or take. And I believe I've seen the game's about 60. So I've still got quite a bit to go.
Okay. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying it. Like I said, the battle system is really fun. It's just, it's fun to get in there, exploit the different weaknesses of the enemies. But another big time, I just find myself like after every time I level, I want to go back to see what new demons I can fuse, right? Because with the, like, as you get stronger, you can only fuse demons to your level or lower. So when you know, level up, now all of a sudden I want to go see what demons I can now fuse. So it's a lot of like super fun to get in there and just mess around with the different demons, make your team like every couple levels. I'm like, oh, now I've got a completely new set, like a new roster of demons I'm rolling with here. And, you know, it's just fun to mess around with some other the systems within the game. Essentially, you get these things. They're called miracles. You find them, and then you can unlock abilities that pretty much just make you more powerful. So you can, like, for instance, there are these miracles that you can, or I guess they're called essences after you find them. But like, oh, I can expand my demon roster by one. So now I can have an extra demon. And then like, oh, now I can get two extra demons. There's an ability like, oh, my, when you fuse demons, now you get an extra ability that can carry over, you know? So you get these things that you can unlock that are in making you stronger in different areas. Like that one, obviously I was sort of speaking, focusing on the fusing, but there's other like exploration bonuses you can get and other different battle bonuses you can choose to unlock. That will, you know, sort of help you on your travels there. But yeah, I think SMT is a really good game. It is, you know, if you've played other SMT games in the mainline, you will probably feel right at home here. You know, it feels like it's taking like the true and tried formula and polishing it up real nice and giving it to you. And there's just not a lot of like games exactly like SMT, you know, in the tone and just how it is, you know. So I think it just has like a nice sweet spot in the JRPG genre. And like I said, it's more of the same, but it feels really good, you know?
Mm. Nice.
Yeah. Nothing with this big of a budget and this hardcore at the same time.
And I saw like, I don't have them exactly, but I remember seeing like sales figures were looking real nice too. And like I said, this is like sort of a, you know, I would say a niche game for sure.
I wish they would localize the name. I know can't now. I hate the name so much.
Johnny Texas Monster Fun.
Texas. But it was, I mean, this was a big step for them. It was a worldwide launch, you know, all at once.
Maybe next time they can have a title that people can say in America.
Don't be a hater, Jerry.
I'm not being it's a stupid name. No one can pronounce it.
Two out of three people on this here podcast can.
Prove it.
In this country, we speak American.
Shin Megami Tensei V.
Shin Megami Tensei.
Tensei V.
Or, for short, SMTV.
SMTV.
There it is.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's it. All right. All right. See you, everyone.
Yeah. Poodles.
Okay. So what are we doing next, boys?
You want to do an eShop roundup?
I got to get my Switch then.
Let's just skip it for this week.
Okay, but we can't leave this in the episode.
We can and we will.
Yeah, how about, hold on. We'll edit something new. Alex, can you say something like, there'll never be another eShop roundup as long as I'm on this podcast?
We were going to do eShop roundup, but there's never going to be another eShop roundup as long as I'm alive,
let alone on this podcast. Why?
Because our editors are lazy.
What about the news?
Let's kill them, Jerry.
Are we killing the news section too?
On Thanksgiving, we are.
All right. Like a turkey.
Because we're thankful for not having to do eShop roundup.
Yeah. The news is a turkey.
All right. Okay. But we do have a fun...
We do have a fun tell me what games to pick up segment.
Yeah.
I mean, poll time.
Also known as poll time.
Poll results time.
Without the poll.
Wait. We got a jingle for that?
We're slowly getting... getting rid of every segment besides the ones that Alex made.
soon we won't even have a what we've been playing. It'll just be like just poll time.
Alex was like, you guys did that before I came on, and I don't like it.
It's getting the X. This is the dark arts poll time.
It's just versus eShop roundup and poll time.
Every episode. All of a sudden, like, oh my god. Our viewership, it's skyrocketing.
His bounce is a genius.
We should have listened to this man sooner.
I don't know what you're going to keep of this. Probably everything that makes you
look
good.
Every single thing.
Okay, but I think it's really funny that I'm like, we should do eShop Roundup right now. And then Perry and Casey are like, eh.
Oh,
Alex is ruining everything.
And meanwhile, Alex had the biggest smile when we said that. Like, he pretended to be appalled, like, I offer it and now you reject, but he was happy.
He's happy.
To my credit, I've done a very good job of planning episodes so they don't go for 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, let's see if you can finish it out. So what was the poll time this week? It was a little different.
There was no
wasn't
poll.
It?
There was no poll.
He's even canceling his own.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing survives longer than 2 weeks with Alex. He's like, get rid of it.
Yeah, I thought this was a really good one, and I have evidence because Perry liked the tweet that it was a good idea.
Mm. Yes.
It was an open prompt. What is your favorite indie game of all time? Because like last week or I was talking about Hollow Knight and how much I love that, and then other people who have chimed in with how good Hollow Knight is. And then we have the, I'm guessing, the Black Friday eShop sale coming tomorrow as of this recording, or the next day, whatever, probably sometime in the next few days, gonna be tons of games going on sale. Mm-hmm. I figured this would be a good recommendation opportunity to be like, hey, what's your favorite indie game ever? Maybe some interesting answers would come through. And you know what? I think I was right, because there were some really good answers on here.
I like Brent's answer the best.
Brent's. Let me try to find it. Okay. Do you want to read his?
I'll read it. Brent Gagnier says, my favorite is Pictui, a steal at only $9.99 on the Nintendo eShop. Get it today. Oh, and also SteamWorld Heist.
Mm. I wonder if Perry gave him a free copy to say that.
No, I did. I did. He did win, though. He did win the $25 prize.
He found. No wonder why he said that. So he was paid off.
It's a corrupt podcast listener.
There it is. I will. SteamWorld Heist.
He read the fine print.
He's a dirty listener.
In the PayPal notes that I put, it says by accepting this, you must promote Pictui at all times in any public setting.
Whenever I call upon you, you will speak the word of Pictui.
Our dirty listeners. All right, yes. I'm gonna read a bunch of them.
Read them off.
I think there were some really good ones. Lemonade said, is Bit Trip Runner 2 an indie game? Maybe that. Bit Trip Runner 2 does count as an indie game.
Maybe the most indie
game
Bit of
Trip
all time.
Does Bit Trip Runner 3? Because Runner 3 kicks some serious butt.
I love Runner 3.
Me too, dude. It is so good. And people didn't like it.
No.
And those people, they're dumb.
Yep. And not on this podcast, which does everything you need
although,
to know.
Although, I don't know, Perry, did you play Runner 3?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you like it?
I liked it. I didn't love it.
All right.
I didn't hate it.
Josh said either this little hidden gem called The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild or this other virtually unknown game called Super Mario World. Now, normally this would be regular funny, but the reason it's extra funny is that he didn't add a second tweet to say what his actual answer was.
See, what I thought was so funny is that it is Josh. This is a guy who will like slap your mother if you try and call anything barbecue that isn't proper barbecue, you know? And then he chimes in on this indie question with Breath of the Wild and Super Mario.
He actually at one time said he would actually slap your mother.
Yeah, remember? And I think he said he'd break a little kid's arm. Yeah, the kid's an absolute monster. And he's out here, and now he doesn't... Yeah, the kid's a monster, even though he's
Josh
probably...
Josh is the kid.
Yeah.
I don't know about being on this podcast anymore when our listeners are either one corrupt or two threatening violence.
Yeah, stay away from Josh, man.
Josh is like Caleb from King of the Hill.
Oh. He's going to take that one to heart, I tell you what.
All right.
Anyway,
I'm going to read some other ones. Jesus said SteamWorld Dig, which I just beat last week. In one sitting while waiting for Pokemon to come in.
Doesn't surprise me.
It was really good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, but see, for Noro people, that makes sense, you know? But for Alex is like, yeah, I beat Hollow Knight in one sitting.
I did not beat Hollow Knight in one sitting.
I polished off the DLC after.
Yeah.
although I did not talk about playing Dead Cells or... Undertale this week or Halo because there's no time.
Good man.
it's a little of the, anyways. Grizzle Von Sizzle said Hollow Knight, heck yeah. Outbreak Monkey said he refuses to answer it.
That feels like me when I posted that GameCube. What was your favorite GameCube question or game, you know? And I was like, I don't know, man, it's too hard.
Estuardo said SteamWorld Dig 2, Guacamelee. Terrence said SteamWorld Dig. Brent Pictui. Pseudonym, No More Spiro, said Ephemerid, A Musical Adventure. It's a Bug Hunt Man said Seekless. I'm going to look that up on Steam. Jesse said Kentucky Route Zero, which is on my list. I really want to play that. I hear it's an amazing adventure game. Full Metal Austin, Undertale, Izanagi, No Okami said Hollow Knight and Undertale. Luke said Hollow Knight, nothing even comes close. And Dave said probably Dead Cells.
Alex agrees.
What case underscore jet say? Like,
yeah,
well, I was going to ask you, and I wanted to ask you guys yourself. Casey, what's your favorite indie game ever?
Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2.
That's amazing.
It's a great game. Now, it must be. In reality, it's not my favorite game of all time, but it's a good game. You might think otherwise from the silly name.
I don't think otherwise, because I've heard for the better part of a decade that it's a great game.
Five bills.
Nice.
I'll look it up. Because I looked up the first one, but not the second one. I was like,
it's a twin stick shooter. It's pretty fun.
Okay. I'll look it up. Perry, what was yours? I know what yours was, but what was yours for the listeners' sake?
You gotta ham it up a little bit, Al.
Mutant Muds?
Or what was yours?
It is Mutant Muds, and unironically, it is Mutant Muds. Like, I was actually trying to think about it, and yeah, it is, and yes,
it is a damn good game.
Biased game journalist.
I truly love that. I truly love that.
Biased game employee.
Yeah. I'm like
lazy dev.
Yeah, it's like asking Reggie his favorite.
Yeah,
well,
Reggie,
obviously, The Legend of Zelda. I mean,
and I love washing it down with a giant Pizza Hut or whatever they're freaking.
Washing it down with a giant Pizza Hut.
Oh, that's great. We got stuff to choose from for the title.
That's great.
Perry, one of those lazy game devs who won't even play other games than his own that he personally made.
It's not my own. Now, if I said Mutant Muds, my favorite indie game is Mutant Muds board game, then that's being lazy.
Only
coincidentally only on sale for $19.99, limitedrungames.com. But
available now.
But if I had to pick a second, it would definitely be
the Mutant Muds video game.
Hatch Tales. Yeah. My favorite IGN, Nintendo Life, whatever comment section criticism is lazy dev. Like anyone who I don't even know what that means in theory.
Is that what that means? Is when devs promote their games?
No. It's used when like Pokemon comes out and they don't really change that much, so they say
lazy dev.
Yeah. That is funny.
Yeah.
But also completely true.
So Mutant Muds was Perry's, Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2.
Alex, what's your favorite indie game?
Honestly, you should check like Downwell. Have you played that game, Alex?
I do have it. I've played a little bit of it on my phone.
That one's like insanely fun. Moonlighter was fun. That was a good one. If you haven't played Tesla versus Lovecraft, like that might honestly be like my favorite indie of all time.
What?
I'm trying to think.
What are all these like super interesting answers coming after Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2?
Well, let me tell you, Guns, Gore, and Cannoli 2, don't sleep on it. Okay. But the other games also really good. Like I said, Moonlighter's fun. Honestly, though, Tesla v Lovecraft is like top tier god game. What's
up? I couldn't get into it. I didn't like Moonlighter. But anyway.
Hater.
I'm not a hater. Because
it's not published by Tui, huh? I'm just kidding.
I said Hotline Miami and more recently Hollow Knight. So really
did
great
you
games.
Play, what is it called? Zero Katana? Is it Katana Zero?
Katana Zero. You recommended it. I've played most of it, and I downloaded it onto my Switch to maybe give it another shot. I thought the combat was really fun, but it didn't gel with me enough to the finish line, but I want to try again to see if that changes, because I did like the combat a lot.
I love how this is like the most vague question you could possibly ask of all time, and like the cheap discussion it brings. And cheap meaning so easy. Not that it's not of value.
I just love it.
Let's just talk about. That game's good.
So I wrote this very much knowing that the word indie game is almost meaningless in this day and age. It basically means small game that's not Call of Duty and not by one of the major publishers you recognize. I understand it's meaningless, but like, I also think that in the spirit of the question,
yet.
You get no. I think you get a lot of really interesting answers to it
for sure.
And I was very happy to see all the Hollow Knight.
Yeah, listen to that laugh. Like it was like people have been poo-pooing on Hollow Knight, and he's finally getting like
finally
validation.
I'm vindicated, yeah. The guy who came 4 years late. Yeah.
Thank God people like this game.
which by the way also happened when I played Psychonauts and The World Ends With You like 11 years or 15 years after they came out. Anyways, that's poll time. Regular poll mm-hmm. next week.
Hey, before we go, Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. We got to get our presents ready. Alex, you're in on this, by the way, buddy.
Okay,
this is your
already
official...
bought my bag of coal for Alex.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I guess what episode will that be? Do we know? We'll be the one before Christmas.
So this is 70, 73, 74, 75. So 76 will air on
the 23rd.
So that would probably be, and then that means we should probably give it 2 weeks to ship because last year?
Yep.
So we need to stay on it and not be turd nuggets and wait to the last second to do it. And I'm pretty much mostly talking about myself when I say this.
Yep. Okay, so we'll make sure we have each other's addresses. Could you say now, right now?
Alex, me and Perry, what do we, I don't know, we keep it cheap, but if you want to go like upwards of $100 to $200, that is okay.
Since I live in the city, you're just like, we're going to keep it cheap, so don't spend any more than $300 on us.
He's a $1 billion from Boston.
I have new driver car insurance in the city, which is something.
You have car insurance?
You have
I'm,
to.
I'm insured on her car.
Gotcha. On her car. Yeah, gotcha. Cool.
I tell you what. Yeah.
So, okay. It's not manageable amount of money, and then we just send it to each other's addresses, and then we don't open it
until $200 to $300. Yep.
And then I usually package them individually. I do like a handful of stuff, you know, little stuff.
He tries to make it cute, open up one, and they'll have
a little
riddle.
Well, no, we have riddles and stuff, and then you have to guess what it is, and then you open it.
And yeah, they're Perry riddles for sure.
I can't just send you guys a bunch of stuff and then you open it?
My man was ready to just Amazon it straight to our house.
Yeah.
Send you a $25 eShop gift card to both of you. Don't even show up on the episode.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Send a text. Yep. Thanks.
Wait. You're telling us you're going to pay us $25 to not be on the podcast? Where do we sign?
Sign me up.
Yeah.
No, it's, excuse me. $25 used eShop gift codes.
Okay, there's just you go.
There's like $1.39 left on there.
I can get $25 of eShop credit for $25, but I can get $300,000 of used eShop credit for $25. So you tell me which is better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was like the time I ordered the eShop off Amazon, and they sent me like a whole sleeve of them. Like I literally have like 20 eShop, and I was like, oh, I was like, God, if these all work, I'm going to be so happy, you know?
But they weren't activated?
No, they didn't work.
Damn.
But I remember, I was like, dude, this would be so much eShop credit. Oh, my God. I hit the jackpot.
Amazing.
But
I love
but
that.
It was.
What a great little fake.
We literally have a giveaway every week. Here's $25 every week.
Yep.
I also love the Amazon employee who, like, anyone who lives in the United States knows how gift cards work. Just puts a whole box in gift cards.
Screw it.
There you go, Cassidy Gorbins.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Merry Christmas, loser.
Yeah, with that, or maybe
Christmas,
he's like, this is the man I will bestow $500 eShop credit to, you know? He just didn't realize that they had to be activated, you know? It's like he was being a saint, but...
Yeah, he got fired for it, too.
I didn't even reap the benefits.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. Yes.
So I shouldn't send it directly to you. I should probably send it to me, repackaged, then send to you.
Unless you're trying to reach out to Kate to bribe her to rap.
Okay.
Exactly.
Which sounds good.
Yeah.
She does love rapping.
You can send it to Casey and have Kate rap it.
She's done a good rapper. Before. Yeah, she loves rapping. Yeah. She's like, $25 all used up. That was a gift card.
What's the next line?
There is none. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. There is the next line, actually. It's, you can find us over on Twitter, Talk Nintendo Pie. That's Talk Nintendo.
B.
O.
D.
D.
And you can find us over on patreon.com/NWR. That's patreon.com/NWR. I said it. I just don't know if the mic picked it up.
But yeah, it does. I could hear it barely. We'll see.
But anyway, yes. And then I guess on that note, I hope everyone has a fantastic Thanksgiving filled with delicious food.
Oh, yes.
We've got our Discord. You can find it in the description here. And we want to see all those turkey and all those
post
those
pictures
dinner,
and the food talk.
The stuffings
please.
And the... I want to see
I'm
all the cranberries.
Pictures.
All the cranberry cans.
Oh, man. And the pumpkin pie.
I can't wait.
Give it to me.
I'm ready to eat already.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But it might also be because it's 7:10 p.m. and I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That little cough.
Alex, it was great having you.
Thanks.
It's a pleasure, Alex.
Alex, do you have any pluggables for us?
Alex, you want to plug your other podcast?
Three Unprepared Men is available now on SoundCloud. Listen to it instead of this podcast.
Yes. Now, the beautiful part is that they've already listened to this podcast, so.
Yeah.
I guess they could
jokes
skip
on
this
you.
Part right now. Joke's on you, funny boy.
Yeah, you big idiot.
All right. Well.
All right.
I think Casey has called our listeners idiots like 3 times this but.
Oh, the big episode. Idiot, that was in regards to Alex, I think.
Oh, okay.
But I did call them idiots earlier at some point.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, if the shoe fits.
And that shoe was liking Big Clip Runner 3.
Yeah. Well, then I guess I'm as dumb as they come.
All
now
right,
that's
goodbye.
Something we can all agree on.
Yay!
Ooh-wee. Can you even call it breakfast if you only made 3 eggs?
I think that's it, right? Then we're. Is there anything else?
I
mean, Casey, are you talking about anything else?
Fade out.
No, I'm saying I think that's the only other game we have to talk about.
Chopped
liver?
Casey has a.
You're not in the thing.
Open your eyes, Jarrett.
Which dock are you in? Are you in 272?
Yeah.
I'm in the one with Alexander Kalafi.
Do you see it? It says...
I think you're in the
wrong... Yeah, I'm in the right one.
Neck of the woods, brother.
That's weird. So the one I'm on, Casey says Shin Megami Tensei 5, and I have Pokemon.
Do you see mine that says Big Brain?
Yep. Yeah. Although I see that it's because Alex copied and pasted it from his.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong
I am not in the wrong dock. It says Alex Pokemon Shining Pearl Big Brain Academy. Yeah, and then at the end, it has the
moved his big brain up to your line.
Yeah, okay. So it's like the color of mine. So it doesn't matter.
What we're trying to say not is matter,
but I am
boy.
On the dock. It says 272.
Wrong one.
I believe you. Casey doesn't, but I do. We'll talk about mine then, and then Casey has a Shin Megami check-in.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Casey. All right. I'll say that again so it can sort of go smoothly.
Then I'm going to do a little EV training to do some competitive play.